Welcome to another edition of The Tech Teachers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Holly.
And we are sorry for the week off. We got a little busy or lazy last weekend.
I think lazy would probably be more accurate.
But we have a four-day weekend this week, so we're definitely bringing you a show. I'm a physics teacher.
And I teach Spanish.
And you can check out links to everything we talk about in the show today and for comments and stuff like that at our website, which is thetechteachers.blogspot.com.
And also you can email us at rayandholly@gmail.com. And Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-Y-E. Also, we've gotten a lot of emails about how to do a podcast. So I just wanted to mention real quick, there's a podcast called System, and episode 4 of System tells how you do a podcast or how you create a podcast.
And we'll link to that.
We'll link to that in our show notes.
It's really interesting, and they talk about a basic setup, and they also show Leo Laporte's insane professional radio setup with like 4 computers in the room and all that. But
so it's a good show or good episode to check out if you want to know how to do a podcast.
Yep. So. All right. It is a 4-day weekend, and it is Monday, President's Day, and we're recording our show here. So this will be up soon, hopefully. But what did we do this weekend?
Mostly we played video games. We bought a brand new video game, Dead or Alive 4, for the Xbox 360.
It's a fighting game.
It's a fighting game. I love fighting games, and so we decided to split that game and bought it and have enjoyed it a lot.
Yes. It's basically the same as the one on Xbox with just slightly better graphics and better sound. And it's high def, which is why it's nice.
Yeah.
We were supposed to get Fight Night, which doesn't come out until, I think, what, Tuesday?
Well, we're not sure. Everybody has a different answer for that.
Well, sometime this next week, Fight Night comes out, and that's a boxing game, and that's we've
fun.
Played the demo. That's spectacular, so we're waiting on that. Mm-hmm. We also watched, I don't remember when, I think it might have been last weekend, one of the things we did instead of the show, was we watched Serenity, which is a sci-fi film that is excellent, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely excellent. I like sci-fi. If you like sci-fi, you'd probably like this.
So, recommendation out there. And let's see, what is it rated? Just for... Rated PG-13, so...
Right.
And it's good.
It's very
good.
Good
story and good action. Mm-hmm. It's a good combination. It's rare to find that in sci-fi sometimes. It's tough to find both. But we also bought... I think we've talked about this before, but we bought a bulb for the projector.
Yeah.
We have a 100-inch screen with a projector mounted on the back wall. And we bought the bulb, and the bulb was like $200. And they last for, you know, a couple of years or whatever. So the bulb in the projector was getting dimmer. We noticed that when we played Dead or Alive. We're like, it should look better than this.
Right.
But I was surprised to see that the projector that I got just a couple years ago, you can now get for like $500. And this is something that'll show, if you just watch standard definition television and DVDs, it will give you all the resolution you ever need, and it'll start to do high def. It won't go up as high def can go, but really cheap. So you could check that out at Epson if you wanted. A lot cheaper than buying like a 50-inch TV, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And ones that do 720p are down now around the $1,000 price point, which is... And you can go as big a screen size as you want with these. So for $1,000, that's a lot better than like $4,000 or $5,000 you drop on a, you know, 50, 60-inch plasma.
The high def thing, I think, is really complicated.
Yes.
I mean, more complicated than I ever knew, because I always just thought, okay, you buy a TV that says it's high def capable or high def ready, and then there you go, you're pretty much good to go.
Yeah,
that's not it at all. So
no,
we're not gonna get
you
gotta
do a little research before you walk into the store. It's all about the resolution and then getting the content to it. You want something, there's different standards. There's 720p and 1020p, but that's not what today's show is about. So maybe we'll save that.
Right.
If there's any interest out there in the whole high def nonsense, drop us an email. Maybe we will do a segment on it in the future.
Right.
All right. But today, somewhat related, I guess, is satellite versus cable.
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of people out there that have cable and their bill keeps inching up and up and up, don't realize that they can get, well, maybe they do realize, but they probably don't realize how cheap it is to get satellite. And we don't have cable or satellite at all. And we were thinking about getting satellite again. So recently I've delved into the prices of this stuff. And this is the from both companies, if you get local channels, you're talking about $40 a month.
Mm-hmm.
So that's for the equivalent of digital cable, your basic digital cable package on like a Time Warner or SBC or whoever. So if your bill's above $40 a month, you might want to look at it. Now, the one thing it's not good for is if you have 10 TVs in your house, satellite's probably going to be more. But if you just have one or two TVs, satellite might save you some money. And on top of that, if, you know, they do have, you know, help me out here, PVRs.
Oh, DVRs?
Yeah, DVRs and PVRs for recording and time shifting. If you don't have, if you have digital cable, I think most digital cable providers have that now. But if you're in a remote area where your cable company doesn't really provide that for cheap, it is very cheap to do that. In fact, it's basically free to do that with the satellite providers.
I've never gone with the satellite route. I've always just had cable.
But you thought there was an equipment cost, right?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask about. Was isn't there?
If you're a new customer, they pretty much give you everything for free.
Okay.
Or in the form of a rebate, if you sign up for a year of service, they give it to you for free. So they give away the dish. Like I still have a dish from DirecTV, and I still have an old TiVo that I took the hard drive out of and used it. So, yeah, they give away the stuff. They give away the stuff. I think when I got my mom DirecTV, I think that time when I got her the TiVo, I had to pay a little bit more. But now they're giving it away. Both of them have promotions now where you can get the DVRs for free. And then it's like $5 a month for the DVR service, which is the same thing that the cable companies usually do too. They rent you the equipment. But here you actually own the equipment and you just pay the $5 a month for the service.
With the DVR, I had never had one until about a year ago. And I don't think I would buy any sort of cable or satellite service without getting it now. Because I don't know if people know what that is, but you know, you just can record shows and fast forward through commercials and all that.
It's it's easy. It's a lot easier than a VCR. Much more convenient.
Yeah.
You set it once and then you kind of forget it.
Right. It'll record weekly if you want it to in a certain show.
If the time changes, it'll record at the new time and stuff like that.
It's incredible.
And you don't realize how much you miss it or how much you need it until you have it. Like my mom's a perfect example of that. I gave it to her for Christmas, you know, got her the DirecTV and got her the TiVo. And she was, and TiVo's just a name brand of a PVR, just so it doesn't matter what you have. They all have the same basic functionality. Some are prettier than others. And she was like, eh, you know, oh, thanks. And then, you know, for the next 3 months, this thing's amazing, you know. And, you know, my mom's not too technical savvy. I mean, she's got a computer and she can figure stuff out. But simple, you know, loves it. Couldn't live without it now. So, and if we ever get cable or satellite again, we'll definitely be getting a DVR.
Absolutely.
If you want to go the whole high def route for TV, things get much more complicated. And I recommend you look at your local cable company first, because it might be cheaper to go through them for high def PVR. High def PVRs
which
are
we
still
had.
Which we had, yes.
Yes, for cheap.
Can't get it anymore, which we had, but it's then you're talking a little bit more money, or you might have to buy a little bit of equipment. So all right. Enough on that. I think a lot of people don't think about that. And I know my dad goes with my mom has DirecTV because of the Sunday ticket if you want the NFL games. My dad goes with Dish because he lives in Connecticut where the prices of his cable were skyrocketing. So Dish is significantly cheaper for him.
Okay.
Like it's a big difference there. Right. For my mom, it's about the same price, except she gets the
NFL games.
She gets the DVR and she gets the Sunday ticket so she can watch Giant games, even though she lives in Pennsylvania. All right. Another thing in tech is Vernier Lab Pro. And there's other companies. I can't remember the other name. There's some other big company that does this. I am a physics teacher, and my school district was nice enough to get a kit that comes with an interface, this little green boxy looking thing, looks about the size of like a graphing calculator, that you connect sensors up to and then connect the green boxy looking thing up to the computer. And the sensors are like motion sensor, accelerometer, microphone, voltage probe. I'm trying to think what else. There's a couple other things too, but it's really, really neat, and it's going to change the way I teach. So we talk about tech in the classroom every once in a while. Here's one that as a physics teacher, I knew I needed this, but I had no idea how much until I started to play around with the software. It is neat stuff. You saw it.
Right. I think the greatest thing about it is the visual representation of what's going on.
In real time.
In real
time,
yeah.
Like you turn on the force sensor, and now, I mean, I do lots of visual representations with like spring scales, and a lot of this stuff can be repeated to a certain extent with stuff in the, you know, like cheaper stuff without the sensors. But as far as data collection goes and showing the slopes of lines and the area under the graphs, this just makes it, you know, I can do it as a demo. You know what I mean? And if I get enough of these, I can do these as labs, and it will make it. It's so powerful. It's so powerful. So you pull, like, you got the force sensor. If you pull on the force sensor, hook it up to something that's got a force on it, in real time, you'll watch as the force on the probe changes, and it'll graph it. And that's the neat thing, is that it'll graph it right then and there, so you don't have to plot in a bunch of data. You can see the data, too. And then you can quickly look at slopes of lines on the graphs, areas, everything that's relevant. And it's really user friendly. You plug in the sensors, you open the program, and it loads up all the appropriate graphs. So if you plug in the motion sensor, you're going to get distance time, velocity time, graph will pop right up. You plug in the microphone, you're going to get, it's going to pop up the appropriate graph for that.
So did your school district come to you and say, what do you need in your lab for physics, or how did you get this?
I'm not quite sure how I got this, but there's a couple different ways to get the equipment. Main purpose of this is for the AP physics, because the AP physics is supposed to have an AP lab, and you know, even the most basic of labs would have a motion sensor. So that's a start. It's neat stuff, and it's going to be very, very effective. Mainly, since I only have one kit, it's going to be demos. Or in the AP classes, I'll probably have the kids use it, but I'm going to have multiple other things for them to do as well, so they can take turns using it in lab until I get some more. Mm-hmm. But the regular physics, there's too many kids, and not, you know, it would just be me demoing it.
Right.
So mainly it's for the AP kids.
Okay.
But I'll use it in both, probably almost, you know, in certain units when we do motion, daily basis probably, I bet. So it's actually a very, very useful thing.
Exciting.
Yes, it is exciting. Not cheap, but exciting. Oh, and the software does something else. It allows you to, we could take video of something, as long as we don't change the perspective, you can import the video into the software and then frame by frame go through and like mark the video, like the object you're examining or whatever, for motion, and then collect data from video without
That's
any
cool.
of the sensors. So we could go outside and record somebody, you know, throwing a football. Or kicking a football, all these football things, or launching a rocket or whatever. And as long as we keep the camera in the same place and we have like a meter stick in the shot, so we have something for scale, we can do, you know, projectile motion and velocity,
works,
time graphs,
though.
And works pretty well. I mean, this is done all the time with high speed photography, where they'll take, you know, slow it down and they'll measure how far it went, and they'll know that they know that every frame is a 1/60 of a second or whatever, so that they know how fast something.
But this particular program, I mean, you know what I mean? This could be like the cheapo version.
I haven't tried it yet. I saw a quick demo of it. It seemed like it worked
pretty well.
Yeah. I can't imagine it. It should work. It really should work. And I'm sure there's other software solutions for that.
Right.
It's just neat that it's built into the thing that we'll already be using. And there's some sample videos that are already built in there as well. But then you can look at, and the neat thing is once it collects the data, like you can see what frame that data point corresponded to. So as you move across the graph, the video will change frame by frame. So you could see that, like when you throw the ball up in the air, at the highest point, the velocity in the y direction is zero. Like you'll see it on the graph. So I think that's kind of, and then it's maximum position. So you can slide across on the graph, and the frames will advance to the appropriate point in the video.
Okay. Cool.
You're not impressed by that?
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, that sounds cool. I don't, you know.
Well, for the visual learners.
Absolutely. Connecting. Absolutely. That's what I said yesterday.
Yeah.
Remember when you showed me?
Yeah. Connecting the graphs to the, I mean, everything that goes on in my mind or that I sketch on the board real quick, now they can see real data. Mm-hmm. And we do some stuff with real data, but, you know, there's time constraints. And we'll be able to do that for everything now, because all I have to do is video whatever it is and then have it all set up and just be like, here you go, as opposed to me trying to draw pictures.
Yeah, that's cool. Good deal.
All right. That's it, I think, for the tech. So a short 14 minutes
short.
Of tech. Well, now we had like 5-minute intro, so 10 minutes of tech.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about education now. We forgot to, at the beginning of the show, talk about technology and education. And we just kind of just
jumped right into it,
which is fine. But in the education section, we were wanting to discuss racial slurs, or that's what I was wanting to discuss.
How about just inappropriate?
Inappropriate, it'd be like inappropriate comments or?
Yeah. How do you deal with that?
Well, this is something I don't know that I do well, because I have tried and tried. I think one of my jobs as a Spanish teacher is to really teach cultural awareness and sensitivity. And it's hard because I hear kids saying racial slurs and they don't even know that they're racial slurs. Nothing that's like, there are the big ones that everybody knows are wrong. But as far as directed at Latino people or Hispanic people, the kids don't know these are wrong. And me trying to teach that, it has been the most difficult thing. I don't know how to get it across.
Yeah, I have similar, it's not with racial slurs in the physics classroom because, you know, and also it's a high school. But I have similar things that, you know, it's they don't realize what they're saying might offend somebody.
Okay.
So I kind of draw a real quick line in the sand. And it's basically, if it has to do with a group of people and you use it in a negative connotation. So in other words, you substitute the word stupid with something that refers to a group of people.
Mm-hmm.
I take them out in the hall right away. And they quickly learn, because there's some common ones that they do, and they quickly learn that those are not acceptable in my room. And I explain to them why, like the moral, I mean, if you want to call it the moral reasons. And then also the obvious, you know, you go on a job interview and you let something like that slip and that offends the person you're interviewing with, which it might, there's a practical reason and there's a higher reason.
A moral reason.
Yeah, there's a moral reason.
The approach I've taken is one of the things I've done, I've given them a list of some stereotypes that Spanish teenagers have about Americans. And we've looked at those and I've talked about,
fat, lazy.
Yeah, basically. But there's some that are just ridiculous, like all American men know Kung Fu or something, you know? And that's what they did, a survey of teenagers in Spain, and this is what they came up with. So I've shown this to them as a way to try and say, hey, you know, some of these have a little bit of truth, a lot of them don't. So can you see how some of the things you might think about, you know, people from Spain or people could be wrong? And all it ends up doing is making them angry at Spanish teenagers because they think that's what Americans are like, you know?
They're not ready for that kind of reasoning, I think.
I don't think so, because I do teach middle school and I've tried so many different approaches. I just did a lesson that bombed on, you know, cultural stereotypes, and I just don't know how to approach it. Maybe it is the age group.
I think they might not be ready for it yet.
Well, and also I am taking on a societal issue and it's, you know, huge. I mean, I can't pretend that I'm going to solve it in, you know, my classroom.
You need to make them aware of it.
I probably
need to make them aware of it, but I mean, and not allow it.
Absolutely don't allow it. Of course not.
I think that sets the best standard of all, because the kid sees that, okay, that's not appropriate here. And then eventually they'll figure out, well, there must be a reason that's not appropriate.
Right.
You know, as far as the logic beyond that, it might be, some of them might be ready for it, but heck, I've got some high schoolers that aren't ready for it. They just can't see why that's not okay.
So just set a precedent.
But they still don't use it in my room.
Plant a seed.
So at the very least, they're learning that if they're in company that is not their friends and not their family, they should not use that word.
Right.
You know, at the very least, they're learning that.
Because I think that I'm teaching some values that conflict with what they have at home at some point, you know. And it's like, because for instance, I had a student who refused to do his work because I was playing Spanish rap. And I just like to expose them to all different types of music that is Spanish, you know, that Spanish speakers are singing and producing. So this kid refused to do his work. So I took him in the hall and, you know, I was like, I'm sorry that this offends you, that it's rap, but you can't just not do your work. You know, I was trying to tell him we need to have an open mind and all this. So he ended up working, but I realized that some of the values that he got at home were conflicting with some of the ones that I'm trying to teach in my classroom.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. It's just a difficult issue that I still haven't solved yet. I don't know how to approach it, really.
Yeah.
Other than not allowing.
I haven't experienced too much of that in my physics classroom. I experienced some of that when I was student teaching.
Mm-hmm.
There were some students that had some very, you know, not only did they say an inappropriate thing, but there was something behind it. It mm-hmm. wasn't just them using, you know, substituting in a word that everybody else used for stupid, you know, that kind of thing. But, or some other variety of that. And them I handled much differently than I do my current students. I, you know, tried to talk to them and explain to them and went much more in depth. Whereas most of my kids now, it's like they know, they've already figured it out, especially the ones that had me first semester. They know why. They've heard it. People mm-hmm. have talked about it. They figured out that, okay, they understand the logic. They may or may not agree with it, but I don't think I'm going to change that overnight.
So it's probably just a good idea to.
I would handle it one on one. If you've got a student where there seriously is some like hatred there, or uh-huh. there seriously is, you know, they look down upon a group, and it's not just filler word. You know, it's not just something they picked up as a bad habit, mm-hmm. And they just need to be aware of it. There's something behind it. There's a reason they're choosing that word. They didn't just pick it up somewhere. Then I think you need to handle it very much on a one on one basis, and just, you know, don't be too brash about it. Just kind of point out and correct and do it softly. That's what I would say.
Yeah.
Because if you really call them out on it, they're just going to respond with.
Right. I absolutely agree.
You almost got to be sneaky about it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. I absolutely agree. Definitely. I don't know.
Especially with a kid in middle school. Because mm-hmm. I would think they're going to be confrontational. Unless they think a real lot of you. And then in that case, maybe you could just have the flat out conversation.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Anyway, any thoughts on that? What do you think about what I do?
I think you handle it great. And you've told me some situations that have to do with gender issues. And I really like how you handle that.
Oh, I forgot all about those. I was thinking in my mind about the other groups. But yeah, I do the whole, that's one that they're very unaware of. They'll say something.
Gender is something that's totally socially acceptable.
Yeah, they're very unaware of making inappropriate comments about gender. And I've had several chats with people about, you know, that might be okay if it's you and your two best buddies. You know, I mean, it might be okay. But when there's other people around, there's mixed company, you cannot, you know, you just cannot go there, because that is definitely going to be, you know, if somebody hears that, they're going to be offended. They could be mm-hmm. offended by that, which you don't want to do.
Yeah.
You don't want to make somebody feel bad just by your choice of words. Just rephrase it, you know.
And you would hope that they wouldn't make those. I mean, I would hope they wouldn't make those comments in the company of their two best buddies. But at the same time, you're making an uncomfortable work environment for the girls that are in the classroom if you, you know, say certain
now,
things.
Now, this is, I mean, I have a very, my line is very PC. We should say nobody is like cursing anybody out
in my room.
I mean, if somebody crosses the line and curses at somebody,
right,
or says a racial slur at somebody, this is not a little chat in the hall.
No.
This is down to the office, down to the guidance office, follow up, detention, something, you know, something's going to be happening.
Right.
This is real stuff.
Subtle stuff.
Uh-huh. That I think, you know, that a lot of teachers probably don't even notice, or that just it doesn't get corrected.
Right.
Because, you know, the kids feel okay saying it, and, you know.
I think that you and I are a little bit more sensitive to that kind of stuff, though, than some other people.
I'm hard. In fact, that's one of the places where the kids probably consider me strict, is the, you know, the way they can talk in the classroom. I'm very strict.
Right.
So. I draw a line that is. I don't know how do you say that. I draw the line in the sand further on the conservative side for that than most people probably.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Conservative is a loaded term, though. So.
Okay, yeah, not conservative, conservative liberal. We're talking about
not politically.
More PC than most people.
Right.
Would that be appropriate?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say so. Yeah.
And I do talk to them a lot about, you know, there's certain language for when you're on a job interview.
Yes.
There's a certain language for when you're with your friends.
Absolutely.
And when you are in
this
room,
mm-hmm.
job interview is what you should be shooting for.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. As a new teacher, I think this is something that's been hard for me to figure out as far as how to approach. Am I being too strict?
I'm a little more lax, like in science club and after school, or, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. But in the classroom, I try to make sure we don't do, because it's the kids. I mean, they have to be there, and it's kind of like a workplace. You know, mm-hmm. you don't want anything at all hostile towards any group
mm-hmm.
if you're in a workplace where it's your job. I mean, school is their job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But
well, I did find some good websites about some lesson plans for teaching.
I had a website about something, but I forget. So this is our site of the night.
No, I have a site in the night that's different than this. But what I was going to say is on our blog, thetechteachers.blogspot.com, I'm going to put up some links to some lesson plans for teaching cultural awareness, cultural sensitivity, some things I've found, and I'm trying out some of them and seeing how they go. So I just thought I would link to those. But the site of the night, though, that I wanted to say was as connectwithkids.com. Have you ever been to that site?
No.
Okay. This is... it deals with educational issues, and it's for teachers and students and parents. But honestly, the content on there I think is excellent. It talks about everything from sports injuries to kids cheating in the classroom. It just brings up all sorts of wonderful issues and has great articles. And I've been checking it out for a few months now, and I love it. So just check it out, connectwithkids.com. I think it's a great site. You should check it out too, Ray.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember what my site was. Mm. That's going to drive me crazy. Oh, well. My memory is shot. I have no memory.
Why is that?
I don't know. I've never had a good memory.
Okay.
You know that. Yeah. I can't remember anything like before the age of like 10. It's just like blurry.
Yeah.
And then even middle school, I don't even remember. Like, you know, kids can remember like their second grade teacher. Uh-huh. I can't remember my second grade teacher. I can barely remember my sixth grade teachers.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know who I had for seventh grade.
Sometimes you can't remember last week.
Sometimes I can't remember last week.
Yeah.
And I've been this way forever. So it's, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know. Just some people have bad memories. Although I read something on Digg that said that memory was linked to intelligence. And it wasn't that smart people had good memories. It's that smart people had very selective memories. Mm-hmm. They only remembered the stuff that was important. So maybe I just remember the stuff that's important.
I know who wrote that. A guy with bad memory that wanted to make himself feel better.
Probably. I didn't dig real deep to see if it was a legitimate story or not. You know. Yeah. So who knows? It could have just been something like that. All right. This is our President's Day special.
What?
What a nice 4-day weekend.
Yes, absolutely. It was enjoyable. You can check out our blog, thetechteachers.blogspot.com, for the show notes.
And send us email, feedback@rainholly@gmail.com. We've gotten back to most of our emails, and we still have, do we still have any NewsMind invites left?
I think we do, yeah. We have some NewsMind invites, yeah.
Yep. Well, we've heard a lot of you for asking for that, and that's fine, and we'll send out more. And we do have a donate button on our website that is through PayPal and Secure. All we get is like the name, that's it, and then it shows the money. Thank you. We did receive a couple more donations, one very a nice substantial contribution, which we appreciate. So eventually here down the road, we'll hopefully get some new equipment for our podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. And thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. I'm Ray.
And I'm Holly.
Until next time.